a legacy of FDR in his wheelchair. Oh.
Do you think we should try? Do you think we should try now?
Yeah, let's open up a little.
Yeah, it's been a solid 2 weeks. Let's just open up just a little bit. Okay. All right.
All right. Mama.
All right. Just a little bit.
All right. All right. Is that too much?
No. Keep going.
Okay.
Down. Okay. Oh fuck. Okay. Oh my god. That was a lot of light. That was a lot of light. But we need to do it. We need to do it.
All right.
All right. Gonna do it again.
Yeah. Okay.
Up. Okay. Yep. It's okay. It's okay. Keep going.
All right. Oh my god, it's all open! It's all open! Oh my god!
Hold on. No, wait. It's just light outside. It's a nice Thursday evening. I think we're okay. Let me check my
fuck.
Phone.
Fuck. All right.
To make sure it's over.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay. It's been... So what's today's date?
The 19th?
I think it's the 19th, and they said it was on the 8th. How many days was it going to last?
3 minutes.
Oh, shit. Then I guess we're cool. Can we go back outside now?
Oh, no.
Which will live in infamy.
Only a foolish optimist can deny the dark realities of the moment.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, man. I guess the eclipse is over.
It's finally over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great excuse for us being off the air for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That is the only reason.
So nobody died?
No.
Because of the eclipse?
Not the eclipse itself, but to do with the eclipse. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Did the rapture happen?
I couldn't tell you.
So if we go outside and we only run into cool people, the rapture happens.
Yeah. And the people that still sell religion for money. Yeah, they're still here too.
Yeah. Did they come up with another excuse?
Yeah.
They did again. Very good. So, okay, the eclipse was great, wasn't it? It was like a few times in your life type of experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next time it's going to be on the mainland states is 2044.
You'll be dead.
No, I'll be 71.
Oh, on trial.
I will be alive, I will be out of jail, and I will be going somewhere to see the eclipse.
Cool.
Yep. And the next time it's going to come around where we are, it's going to be 2099.
We'll be... I'll be celebrating. Uploaded into a machine.
I'll be celebrating my 120-somethingth birthday.
Sure you will.
But you can actually go to Alaska, northern Alaska, in 2033 and see it.
Oh. I hear they make good people there.
Absolutely. So the joke at the beginning was, how long does the eclipse last? And the answer was 3 minutes. So in the zone of totality... it was legitimately a logistical issue for law enforcement, traffic, infrastructure, a little bit, maybe.
Slightly.
Worried about,
you know,
so like, many people going to one area at one time, you know. So the issue...
Like a concert.
Like a... Right. It was the Grateful Dead of astronomy. Yeah, exactly.
Featuring fish.
So, at the very worst... There would be traffic going to locations, traffic getting out of locations.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that was pretty much it. You know, I'm assuming like local police and local governments and state patrols had to be a little more.
Put out some traffic cones.
Yeah. Type in stuff
some
on the
signs.
Electric sign, you know, make some news. Yeah, whatever. So. The eclipse happened, it went away, and everybody went on about their business. during minute four, I guess, right?
When the eclipse was over. It's over. Yeah. It's cool.
Good experience. It was great. A lot of people got to experience science, you know, firsthand. You hear about it, but if
it's
you've
not
never
even
seen
science,
it before,
it's the way the world works.
It's shit. It's Well, everything's science, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Everything's science. So you would think that an eclipse would just bring about a sense of awe about how we're surrounded by, you know, I don't know, a larger universe, a larger solar system that makes us seem just a little bit smaller for a minute. It's a good time to sit back and reflect and just soak it in, because you only see this once, twice, maybe three times in your entire life. It was kind of a nice, serene opportunity for everyone just to take a break for a minute.
Yeah, it kind of makes the textbooks come to life.
Yeah.
It's when you have all these predictions and you actually get to see it play out. You're like, I think this will happen because of A, and B comes in, and you're like, oh, wow, I get to see it. And this is on a universal level. It's undeniable. It happened.
Right.
And it's the way our Earth, our little green speck, blue speck, in the universe interacts with other things in the universe.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, too. Astronomers and physicists are able to calculate exactly when and where these phenomena are going to happen into perpetuity, basically.
Yeah.
These are scientific facts that are going to happen that we just have to anticipate and wait for and enjoy it in the moment. So you would think.
It started in ancient Greece, actually.
Right. They could actually calculate the shit way back then.
And they weren't very, they weren't great at it.
Right.
It took Ptolemy in the golden age of Islam in the Middle East to actually really start nailing this down.
Yeah.
And it hasn't failed ever since. So it's happened. It's been calculated. So continue on with your point,
and
Dave.
No, by the way, apologetic people, Ptolemy and pterodactyls were not around at the same time, motherfucker.
But I thought they were on a boat together.
Two pterodactyls.
Two guys?
Yeah.
So, that pen was fantastic.
So you just assume that it's just going to be, it's not going to be political, it's not going to be anything more than just a freaking eclipse.
Nope, you're wrong.
Wrong. Let's take a trip to Arkansas. Let's not take a trip to Arkansas. Never mind.
Tis a silly place.
Tis a silly place. Let's talk about Arkansas.
All right.
So the governor of Arkansas, Smokey Eye Sarah Huckabee Sanders, former press secretary to former President Donald J. Trump, issued a state of emergency.
Yep. All right. I got a news clipping here. Mm-hmm. You want me to read it?
Yep.
Okay. I don't want to.
All right. You have to.
Fuck. Okay. So, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Friday declared a state of emergency related to Monday's total solar eclipse and released $100,000 to assist with the state's response. The emergency declaration waives certain... I didn't know this part. The emergency declaration waives certain federal restrictions on commercial traffic for up to 14 days.
2 weeks. As long as we delayed this podcast because of the eclipse.
Yes.
And we're joking.
Yeah. In quotes, so long... so long as a motor carrier or driver is providing direct assistance in response to the declared emergency.
A 2 week state of emergency.
For a 3 minute event.
For a 3 minute event.
Of where it went dark for 3 minutes. Okay. Sanders' executive order declaring the emergency cites the expected influx of visitors, which we talked about.
Yep. Yep,
kind of like a
yep.
concert.
Yep.
Has Phish played for 2 weeks straight? I think they have.
They, yes, nonstop. And then everybody leaves before the end of the 2 weeks.
Yes. But wouldn't the things be like, at the beginning, at the end, not the entire 2 weeks.
Right, the entire time, just cars in and out. Yeah.
Okay. Where it was, and the backlog of deliveries by commercial vehicles transporting essential items of commerce that could result.
Now, as ridiculous as this is, when was the last time an elected Republican came up with a plan of any kind for anything?
Abortion.
Oh, fuck.
IVF. Nope,
abortions don't exist, so it's not a plan.
Right.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. So she obviously went over the top. And you have
That's
to ask
one
yourself,
way of putting it.
I'm thinking of three possibilities. Okay? Number one, playing it safe just in case. Okay?
Okay. I'll give you a quote from Huckabee Sanders herself about that.
Okay.
Out of an abundance of caution, I've directed funds to be released from the Response and Recovery Fund ahead of the Great American Eclipse.
The Great American Recovery.
Yeah, it's
what's the
Make Eclipse Great Again.
So she MAGA'd the eclipse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she has to put a tinge of MAGA patriotism into it.
How's that?
Did they shoot the moon when it crossed the Mexican border?
Well, how's that a great American eclipse when it's just an eclipse happening? Why does that make great American? Because it went over the world.
I know. You're trying to rationalize right now. That's the problem. So, number one, abundance of caution. Number two, not taking the time to really understand what the eclipse was and how it would actually impact, because every other locality and state said this would be a minor couple of hours issue. The worst case scenario was people trying to fill it up at a gas station and they ran out of gas. That was the worst case scenario that I heard of.
Yeah.
I heard nothing about transportation supplies and things like that. But I think one of the more possible explanations for her overreaction to this is the religious aspect. There are some, not all, but there are some evangelical, apologetic Christians who
are wrong
always, but thought that this was going to be the rapture.
Hmm.
And whether she believed that or not, I think she believed that there was a possibility that there was going to be some type of religious experience event that was aligned with this.
I wonder where she got that thinking from.
Her bass-playing father.
Yeah,
yeah,
who played Catch Scratch Beaver with Ted Nugent on Fox News.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did
do the
that.
One,
yeah.
The song that's literally going out because he's horny and wanting to fuck someone strange.
Yeah. Sweet lyrics.
Yeah, yeah. Sweet yeah, lyrics. Yeah. He's, mm-hmm. he's a godly man.
He is a godly man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God. Yeah. Where are we come? So I kind of like, and again, that sounds really far-fetched. Because you could easily say, hey, here's a governor being abundantly cautious. 100,000 grand isn't a shitload of money in a state budget. But the length and duration and the word recovery has another angle to it that makes it seem like she believed something else than what she was being told.
Fuck yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the rapture, explained to our faith-driven people out there, is when people get literally taken up into the sky mm-hmm. as if they were godly mm-hmm. into heaven. But it's only 144,000 people from across the world.
That's
according to...
that's 44,000 more than the dollar she was going to spend on the recovery effort.
Yes. That is not quite what everyone believes. I think that's a Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I may be wrong on that one. But that's a very succinct number of people. I think it's that much. It's around that number. Some people say it's, again, this one I haven't quite researched because I wasn't quite prepared to go into the rapture. But people literally getting taken up into heaven.
Yeah. Literally.
Evangelicals have been preaching that. for a long time. Mm-hmm. So if she thinks people are just going to disappear from Arkansas, wouldn't you think 100,000 is not enough to recover from, like, a lot of the population not being there?
Right.
And who's paying that if they're not there?
Exactly.
Who's doing the paperwork is what I'm asking.
But at the end of the day, it's just interesting. It's like, where does that come from? You know, because she's obviously not listening to people advising her.
Or not government employees advising her.
Yeah, definitely. The religious reach of people like her is quite deep. And she's kind of unlike some of, like, let's compare her to like a Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know.
We'll talk about her later.
A fake evangelical Christian, right, just saying the words. You know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was raised in this shit. She's a true believer. It's embedded in her belief system. So whether she totally believed it or not, this was kind of like a backup plan just in case. So Marjorie Taylor Greene also thinks that the eclipse and the earthquake that happened in New Jersey are related to each other.
Wait. Okay. Fake evangelical. What do they hate? Gay people.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
So Marjorie Taylor Greene, she said this after the earthquake leading up to the eclipse. This is a real quote from someone who represents people in the fucking government. I can't get over it. I should be over it. I can't get over it. Here we go. Okay. God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens, Green wrote.
All right, let's go back to my Bible knowledge. Are we going to have to paint lamb's blood over our doors again?
Yeah, I think so. I think we might have to.
Right, because then I think it's we're going to get frogs next. But in our case, cicadas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they call the cicadas coming locusts.
Locusts, yeah, okay. Yeah. I can see. That's not a stretch.
It's not a stretch, but guess what? They're not locusts.
I'm aware.
They're fucking cicadas. Fucking idiots.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm aware.
Yep.
You and I are aware.
Right. We are aware. Our listeners are
aware. Yeah. But it's not the biggest stretch they make.
No. Eclipse, planned and predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Cicadas, predicted.
Yeah.
Earthquakes, predicted.
Happen.
Yeah. Tectonic plate shifts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit happens. Yeah. And they happen all over the world.
It's like a Bronze Age society was trying to explain the world when it happened randomly and they didn't know what was happening. Got it.
Yes.
All right, so did she specifically blame it on gay people? Or is that just an aforementioned?
It's an aforementioned.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but she is a believer in that, you know, homosexuality, wokeism, liberalism causes God to take revenge upon the country. I mean, they directly believe that those things are interrelated to each other.
Got it.
And then when it comes to things like eclipses and comets and stuff like that, well, God created those too. So it, even though it was predicted by science, it was intelligent design.
Ah, the watchmaker theory.
Exactly.
Remember the good old days when you could just blame it on gay people getting AIDS?
Well, they still do.
Yeah, but now we can kind of like suppress it.
I
don't know. Now we got to get back to old school and get the earthquakes involved. Fine, you won't die by a virus. Here you go. Survive an eclipse, you homo.
So it's crazy. It's like, so the things we just talked about, right, are absurd things.
Yes.
They are absurd things. And I would say by most people...
Wait. No, they were not absurd because we had to take a break for them. A two-week break, Dave. A
two-week break. That's right. We were afraid to pull the blinds up.
Yes.
Just to be sure. And we're fine, so it's all okay.
That's why we're recording.
That's why we're recording now. So wrapping my head around this, the majority of people see things like this as absurd. They still do. However, these ideas are not obscure. They are still existing in the forefront of people's thoughts and beliefs. And there's a sizable amount of the population that believes these kinds of things. So when we talk about living in the world of misinformation, we kind of live in a world of overinformation, where the lines between educated, non-educated, resourced, non-resourced information is blurred, especially if you can't discern between those things. And people are turning into victims of repetitive information that's presented as fact. And when you hear something over and over and over and over again, it starts to mold your mind.
Yeah, and it's easy to happen. I mean, it's not this isn't a new trick. It's not right. something new. Most infamously, Goebbels, Soviet USSR.
Goebbels.
So when you start to repeat things and you're not necessarily super interested, so you're not looking at it every day, be like, no, that's a lie, that's a lie. So political junkies like us can see it for what it is. But if you're just like glance news and you just kind of see a headline of migrants are rid of all our trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hunter Biden is a criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you see that every day.
Yeah.
All the time.
Right.
And then you get into a conversation or have a political voting message that you want to have. And you're like, wait, no, I heard he was a criminal. I haven't fully studied it, but it's kind of that thought in my mind.
Right. I don't have proof. I've never seen proof, but I've heard it so many times that it must be true. The border must be worse than ever.
Yeah.
Because that's what I hear all the time.
And you don't have anyone to tell you different.
No.
You're just kind of,
No,
I heard that.
But what's different today is the access to the information and the snapshot piece of the information. Yeah. We can watch some kind of video from who knows where or who knows when of people crossing a river.
Yeah.
And we don't know if the river is the Rio Grande. We don't know if the river is on the other side of the world. We don't know if they are undocumented immigrants.
You don't know if it's from 1995 or 2024.
Yeah. We have no idea, but people see it and they automatically believe it. And I know that I have a friend of mine actually who is educated. I mean, they're not a dumb person, and they showed me a TikTok video of a group of people looking like they are walking towards the border between Mexico and Texas, and a guy that's kind of like some kind of journalist, but who knows who he is. He's got a microphone, and he's talking to a guy that is Middle Eastern, and the guy's talking about how he can't wait to cross into the United States and become a terrorist. He said, look at this. This is what's happening at our border. And I said, let me watch this again. I said, okay. I said, how do you know that this guy is actually a terrorist? How do you know that these people are crossing the Texas border? How is it that there's a journalist just randomly standing here with a microphone and happens to find an Islamic
the
terrorist?
The one terrorist.
They typically don't announce what they're doing.
Right.
About to cry. And how much he, definitely talking about how much he hates America.
Yeah.
Like, it was so obviously contrived. And when I brought those points up to him, he didn't dismiss the points. He acknowledged the fact that that might not be a real video. But he says, but you know that happens. And that's the whataboutism.
Mm-hmm.
So facts don't matter. Because if you can challenge that piece of information, well, something else has to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's take an objectifiable opinion and say that the Dodgers are the greatest baseball team to have ever existed. Mm-hmm. Right?
No.
No, Dave, you're wrong. I have a TikTok video for
you. Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. And you say, hey, no, they didn't do that. And I'd go, yeah, but they will. I'm hugely biased because that's the opinion I want to believe.
Right. Yeah. 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 You want.
No, I mean,
you
I
want
know
the believe. Dodgers to be the best team. Like,
I know it's true, Dave.
You want the border to be a crisis so somebody else gets elected.
Exactly.
You want it so bad.
Yeah.
You do. You want it bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very, I mean, I read sports news all the time and I go, are the Dodgers in the top three? I automatically click that article.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, we have confirmation bias. We want to confirm those things.
But the difference of that is I want it for fun. Baseball's not going to ruin my life.
Right. I've seen it come close.
Well,
typically around October, the first week of October.
Yeah. But it's that's fun for me. It's sports.
Yeah,
you watch sports.
Yeah,
it's
entertainment.
It's dumb, but
at the
it's
end of the day,
our
it's
kind
entertainment.
Of dumb.
Yeah,
it's entertainment, exactly. But when I'm listening to policy advice or policy things that happen in the White House and stuff, I fucking want to know the facts. I'm not going to click on Biden did this and Biden did that and Trump says this. It's like, first of all, who's writing about it?
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, what's it talking about, and where are the facts?
Right, right.
I don't want this vague shit of clickbait.
Exactly.
And that's what we have now. Yeah. It's clickbait, not actual
facts. And the access is out there to everybody, and it's in our face all the time. And the algorithms feed us what we want, not what we need. And you have to be smart enough and have enough time, actually, to search for what is true. And to be honest, a lot of us don't have the time.
We hear
things repeated over and over and over. We tend to condense the sources where we get things from. And then we tend to surround ourselves with people who have, you know, similar beliefs. You have people, like another example, similar people that I know that are educated that believe that Capitol police officers let in the January 6th rioters. Oh, no, they invited them in. I think we talked about this a few episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, they were afraid of getting hurt or killed, so they gave up. And they stood to the side because they were outnumbered thousands to one. But somehow in a brain, they put up a blockade to what the truth is. The economy's terrible.
It's very human.
Yeah. Prices are high, and it affects your kitchen table. Groceries, gasoline, they're fucking high for a multitude of factors. But every other indicator in the economy says it's stronger than fuck, and we're setting records. People that I know that understand that high prices and inflation are not the same thing use the word inflation to mean high prices.
Yeah.
Because they want a narrative that fits what they want to happen politically.
It's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy. Especially because you can just say it and you don't have to explain. Everyone I understand what that means.
And you can say it in a somewhat intelligent way. And, you know, if you don't look shit up and read stuff like we do, then it's hard to challenge those type of things.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard to even, like, I've had conversations with people, and they're like, how do you know? I'm like, there was an article I read. Shit, what was that article? You can't always keep that in your head. They'll talk about me if I start carrying a notebook of this shit.
But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't remember everything I read and where it came from, but it was a sourced article.
Yeah. Or you can just flip. I found what's easier now is you just flip the script. I'm like, how do you know that's a thing?
Right.
Oh, well, I saw it on Facebook. Your argument's done.
Yeah. Right. If you read something on social media, it's automatically unreliable, invalid resource. But people don't. It's a scary time in a way because we have not intellectually caught up with the access to information and technology that's out there. And it's available to everybody.
It's true. And then not only can anybody access it, anybody can put information on there as well. So say you have a political comedy podcast and you start saying shit.
Right.
It would take time for the listeners to fact check us or go back. Right. Like, that wasn't correct, even though you guys do. but again, you literally have two people in their basement saying stuff.
Right.
You're still going to believe us, right? Yeah. But, I mean, it's a great thing, and it's also a terrible thing.
Right.
Because we could be nefarious and not research this stuff and go on whatever we click on. Or we could take 2 days, guys, 2 days to research this, these topics in this episode and be like, hey, if you want to look it up, look it up. But here's what's happening. And that's good and bad.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Yeah. So going back over to the political conversation, I think at this point in time in our country's history, it is the right wing and the Republican Party who are the most victim by far to misinformation and bias and conspiracy. Whereas the left is no longer so much left, but it's the side of rational ideas and rational thoughts.
I think the right wing has been consumed by the conspiracy. And everything's a conspiracy. And everything's against them. And they are the victim. Just absolutely consumed.
Right.
And it's not just fringes of it. It's the entire party.
And the outliers that aren't falling victim to it, they kind of don't know what to do. And they don't really have a place. Like, because like Liz Cheney is just a stalwart fucking conservative with a lot of skill, power, and ability. She has no place in the Republican Party. she could do so much damage to the things that we believe in.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have the capacity to do that. Even like, I mean, you take like a Mike Pence who served as vice president to Donald Trump. He can see what's going on from a different type of perspective. You know, Mitt Romney, John McCain saw it. Adam Kinzinger. These are stalwart Republicans. Varying degrees of conservatism, but Cheney and Pence are very far right wing. You know, Romney's relatively conservative, but he's very conservative.
He's very corporation sided conservative. But he's the one that said corporations are people.
Yeah, but they have no, and I kind of put Pence on the outside because he's a little evangelical crazy, but like, you're telling me Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney have no place in the Republican Party?
You're right.
Are you, I mean, they are as Republican as Republican gets.
Yeah.
Like, you put them in a vacuum 20 years ago, both of those motherfuckers beat George W. Bush in a primary. Yeah.
Okay, so do you want to compare and contrast to what we see as conservative nowadays? So you have Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney, the Cheneys, Mitt Romney, Mike Pence.
Scope and role of the government.
Yeah. Now we have Marjorie Taylor Greene.
We had something to debate back in the day.
Yeah. Policy.
We had policy arguments, and we had to be on our toes because they could come back with some research shit that would make at least sense. And you would have to show how your ideas were better for more people, basically, at the end of the day. What's better for more people?
Dick Cheney was like, I can shoot my my opposition in the woods and call it duck hunting.
No, actually, my friend, he's that nefarious. He's shooting his friends in the woods duck hunting.
Opposition.
Anybody who's not him.
Keep your friends close, your enemies closer. Took it to heart, motherfucker.
Exactly.
And he took the slug to a heart.
It's simply the difference is it's a party now without rationality. It's they're disconnected from reality. It's a party without policy. Literally, I mean, I'm just not saying, like, you know, overturning Roe versus Wade, all that stuff, it's actually not policy. It's not creating rules that benefit people. It's just taking things away. So a rule is not policy.
Right.
A takeaway is not policy. Policies are hundreds of pages long that give bureaucrats instructions on how to carry out government orders to benefit people. This is all takeaway.
It's how do I get section A to section B? How do we do that?
Yeah. Right.
And hopefully you want to improve section B.
Yeah.
It could be an improvement, but it's not. So Marjorie Taylor Greene is just, what are they calling her now? Moscow Marge.
Moscow Marjorie. Yep.
So their stunts, this is a stunt. It's not her being serious, but she wants to. So the House are going to vote on Ukrainian aid, Israeli aid, and Taiwanese aid. She wants to add amendments to these things and then oust the leader because of Ukrainian aid. But one of her amendments is funding for the development of space laser technology on the southwest border. And her reasoning is that Israel has such a great unmanned missile protection.
Like a Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't. It's not space
based. No, it's not. It's ground based.
It's ground based. Yeah. But she's taking that idea of getting space age technology to murder immigrants.
Don't try to explain it. We're going to. Evaporate poor migrants crossing the border because that's a Christian thing to do.
It was in the Bible, I believe. Yeah. Wasn't it Mark 3?
I don't know. That's
thou shall
that's a blast Lincoln your continental.
Thou shall blast the brown people with space lasers. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's laughable.
It's how are you voting for this person?
I don't understand. And how do her colleagues in her own party not just lambast her for it? They just act like the things aren't said.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not looking. Don't look at the fire. Don't look at the crash. It didn't happen. I'm just going to keep walking around. I mean, that's what they're doing.
Yep.
Instead of going, are you fucking insane?
The only thing we can do, man, is vote for president and vote, make sure we turn out to vote in contested elections in the House and Senate.
Yeah.
We got to take over majorities and we have to win the presidency and we have to turn this around. We have to replace Supreme Court justices. We have to embarrass these people and make them lose over and over and over again because they're not going to go away.
Do you think they'll go away if Trump goes to prison?
If he, MAGA is not Trump. MAGA is a movement.
Okay.
And it would be interesting to, it will be interesting to see what happens to MAGA when Trump is no longer around.
That's a good point. I like that. Do you think MAGA will continue or it will just kind of fizzle? I think it'll, in my opinion, yeah. I think it'll fizzle.
Okay.
Because they don't have, there's no It'll one like Trump.
Fizzle if they lose. If the movement has victories, it will reinvigorate itself. They have to continue to lose, which they are.
Continually.
So I agree with you on the fizzle piece, but they do have to lose.
Okay.
But I do think it is independent of Trump himself for the most part. Because he as an entity is, whether he has dementia or not, he is mentally checking out faster and faster and faster.
Okay. On that vein, do you think if he dies, will he be like the martyr of the MAGA movement?
Oh, yeah. I think he will forever be.
And everyone's going
to second to
twist
Jesus.
His words, which I don't even know what his words are.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what the posthumous piece of him will be. I don't really know. It's strange.
Yeah, and...
Yeah.
Be weird.
Yeah.
Be weird. Death cult.
Death cult.
Yeah.
Very strange. I want to bring up something else.
Okay.
Okay. So, have you seen The Handmaid's Tale?
I have, yeah.
So okay. Yeah.
I've watched all series.
I will never go to Boston again. I'm just telling you. I will never go to Fenway Park.
I don't know. Bradley Whitford's there.
So, have you heard about this pastor, Joel Webbin?
No.
Okay, there's a pastor. He is he's the pastor of a church called the Covenant Bible Church. And he put out that he will not let his wife read unless he approves of the reading material. Yeah. And if you look him up, he looks like
a commander.
He looks like that commander. Frank. Commander Frank. He looks exactly like
Frank. Frank, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, he's a crazy...
Is it Frank?
I
think so.
The guy with the dark beard. For
yeah. Yeah. The Nazi with the dark Nazi beard, with the dark beard. On Handmaid's Tale.
And when you watch like...
Off Fred. Fred.
Fred.
Fred. Fred. Off Fred. Yeah.
So the flashbacks before, right?
Yeah.
Where you can see the transformation from conservatism to what we see in The Handmaid's Tale, that feels like a beginning to that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if he watched The Handmaid's Tale, he would say, there's my vision. Yes. How many pastors are like that? And how many people on the far right, especially with the religious element, would fall in line with that if it ever had power attached? It's possible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely
possible. No, it happens all the time.
Yeah. The Handmaid's Tale, and the guy might take, he might have seen it, and that's his script.
Yeah.
And you can now
taking notes in the original
you
book.
You can convince people of anything anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I think all bets are off when it comes to the possibilities, not the likelihood, all right, I'm level-headed, but the possibilities of where things can go.
Yeah. And just for our listeners, if you haven't watched Handmaid's Tale, Handmaid's Tale is about the complete takeover of the evangelical religious movement, and they control every aspect of women's lives, and men are exonerated. They move to a Puritan style way of living, and women are literally raped by powerful men to make babies.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were fertility problems happening in the world, and that's how they were able to gain power. Mm-hmm. And they found a way to kind of boost fertility in a very superficial way.
Yeah.
And when I say dominate women, I mean control every single aspect of their lives for a religious conviction. That's A Handmaid's Tale, in a nutshell.
Yeah,
fantastic book, fantastic series. That's where we are.
Exactly. And that popped out to me when I saw that. I'm like, oh my God, that's Fred. He's like, he's doing it. Holy shit, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
His wife's under his spell and she's okay with it. Like, wow.
Yeah. And my wife came up to me today. She went to go visit her family. And she's like, hey, do you mind if I go get a Bundt cake and Chick-fil-A? I was like, are you hungry? She's like, yeah. Get the fucking food. Like, do you want bundt cakes? I know you're on a diet. I didn't say, like, you cannot get that because you are on a diet. I'm like, I know you said you were on a diet. Do you want to get bundt cakes? She's like, yeah, I want to share with my mom. Cool. What flavor are you getting? Like, why are you asking me for permission? I'm not the one. First of all, I'm not the one to hold you as your diet buddy.
Right. We're not friends in this adventure.
Yeah, I'd be like, so bundt cake, what has it got on it? And you add some extra dough to that and put the cream frosting on? Then
then I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that aspect, and I don't feel like I push that on her at all.
Right.
Because
it's not how you operate. It's not how you roll.
We're married, but you're a human being.
Go buy a bundt cake, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. You can go do it without me even knowing. Or you say, hey, sweetheart, I'm going to get a bundt cake. Do you want me to get you one for later?
Yeah.
No, I'm good. Or fuck yeah, I don't want a bun cake.
Speaking of, you know what I realized? I didn't realize this, but it wasn't until the early 70s that a married woman had to have her husband sign, co-sign for a credit card.
Yeah.
Dude. I don't know how that fact passed me.
It's insane.
51 years ago. I mean, what the fuck? So we've come a long way, but man, power. It's all about power. I mean, yeah. It's all about power. You have to make these people, you have to push the fact that these people are on the fringe. We have to push them back into the corners, back into the dark hallways. Obviously, we do it by voting, but we also fight it with misinformation, and we call that shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just keep calling out, and if someone comes to you like that, don't engage them negatively. Just be like, why do you think that is? Why do you believe that?
I'm going to call them fucking stupid. No, I hear what you're, I hear what you're saying. So what's your thinking behind that?
Yeah.
What would happen if she read that book?
Yeah, because that engages them with you. Mm-hmm. And then you can calmly explain why they are stupid without calling them stupid.
Right. And when the Handmaid's Tale does come to life, they might not hang you first.
True.
Third or fourth.
Third or fourth, you know, you get an extra couple weeks.
Yeah. So takeaways, man, from this episode. So if you're listening to us right now, you're probably not on the right, unless you hate yourself. But on the left, you're exposed to information. You're flipping on TikTok. You're on the Facebook. You're on Instagram. You're using social media. You're reading articles and listening to podcasts that you agree with.
Yeah.
So ask yourself, like, what things do I believe that might not be completely true? How do you make yourself more fact-based and more rational?
There is a podcast I listen to. I'm not going to say the podcast. They're Democrats. They are Democrats. I wouldn't call them progressive. I wouldn't call them left. I'd call them Democrats.
Competition. We go kill them.
Yeah, sure. Okay Dave. Write that down. What's the timestamp on that? No, they're Democrats. Uh-huh. Usually I agree with them, but sometimes I kind of roll my eyes at them because they're thinking about Democrats coming into power rather than the what they're going to do with that power. And I'm like, this is the problem here. I think for all intentions that they have the same intentions I do for the most part. Yeah. But it's like, you guys have a voice and you're talking about power. Mm-hmm. And then in the next segment, you're talking about how Republicans just want power. It's like, you just did it in a nicer way.
Yeah.
So again, think, and then it's like, okay, I've got that in the back of my mind. Now I can listen to the message that they're saying.
Right.
It's not a Bible to me.
Yeah. Right.
I can question, I can disagree, I can continue. Mm-hmm. I can understand what they're saying.
Right. And that's a healthy process.
Yeah.
And we all have to do that because we all have biases and we all can kind of sometimes feed into that stuff. The world of too much information affects us all. And we have to find new ways and new strategies. We kind of have, it's evolutionary. We have to evolve to this change. Because the way my brain functioned 10, 20, 30 years ago, when it came to absorbing and understanding and learning and thinking and forming my opinion, is a completely different ballgame. It's not the same thing. So we all struggle with it.
Yeah.
And if we all struggle with it, we all have the potential to become victim to it as well.
Yeah. I think one of the messages I'm going to give our listeners for this is that it's okay to change your opinion. Whether it be a complete reversal, because you're like, didn't know that information, this is wrong. Or, you know what? I have a slightly different variation of what I believe now.
Yeah,
right. It's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you that you were wrong or bad or imperfect, because you are.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's always the thing that humans are. But you work to a more perfect person.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I think that's the best message I can give out there.
Well said. That was poignant.
Thank you.
I think that's all we have to say.
Now let's close the blinds.
Close the blinds. And wait to see.
For another 2 weeks.
For another 2 weeks and see if we're any better. Hey, sorry we weren't here last week.
We were busy.
What did you guys do during that week we weren't here? I mean, I wonder what our listeners did.
They're all blind now.
They're all blind now. They forgot their glasses.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to our show. You can contact us at FDRswheelchairpodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Patreon at FDR's Wheelchair that none of you seem to want to go on. But you get extra content.
Yes, you do.
If that's what you want. If
that's what you really want. If you give, we will create that content.
Yep. And, Dave.
Yes?
I've been cheating on you.
I know. That's why I have that cool. Match.
Yeah. So, in the next coming weeks, we're going to have a short mini podcast with Jay from Jay Burke Show and Smith from the Story of Podcast.
Oh, him again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like your rival that you ever since he fucking did Kansas that episode. We're going to be having a mini podcast. It'll probably be about 3 or 4 episodes long. We're going to be talking about Project 2025.
Yay. 5 episodes about that.
Yep.
Yay.
It'll be great. God, Dave may make an like a hate appearance, calling us all gay. Now he hates. He'll be drunk, of course.
Of course, yeah.
But that will be coming up within the next couple weeks, so we'll announce the date to that. So please stay tuned for that. And do you have anything, Dave?
Yeah. Enjoy your Saturday. It's 4:20, everybody, and this has been
a legacy of FDR in his wheelchair.
This podcast is a production of Unfiltered Studios. If you would like to know more about joining Unfiltered Studios, please visit our website at unfpod.com for more information.